Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Dus Augustus Toplady in de Gospel Magazine of 1775, reflecting on a journey when he was caught in a fiercy storm and took shelter in a gap of a mountain rock. En voor de hymnrijter, dat was de Rock of Ages. En dat rock is Christ, his shelter, his stronghold, his safe house. And congregation, coming to the point tonight, the question is Christ your rock? In life's journey, times that you may be caught up in the storms of life, or when the heart is overwhelmed, or when you cry from the end of the earth and it seems no one hears. But also that you may know by grace, cannot deny this in your life, feeble as it may be at times, and struggling as it may can be at times, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. For me. Therefore let us turn to Psalm 61. Only these first four verses. Hear my cry, O God, attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry to thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me, and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. Selah. Congregation, let us meditate with the help of the Lord on these four verses of this psalm. This psalm that speaks of a crying prayer and a caring protection. This psalm that speaks of overwhelming tension in one's life, but also abiding trust. This psalm that shows us why we need Christ, the Rock of Ages. In the second place, who he is. And in the third place, how this ought to transform us. What I mean is this: if you are now by grace personally acquainted of having Christ as your rock, how does that now translate in your life? Also for the week that lies before us. Does Christ, the Rock of Ages, cleft for me? Why we need him, who he is, and how this ought to transform us. Why do we need Christ as a rock? Or more personal, why do I need Christ as my rock? Because here is one who cries to God, hear me, listen to me, bend an ear to me in my prayer, verse 1. Cries to God from the end of the earth. Here is one who feels that God is distant, who experiences a lack of God's presence. One who feels remote from God, his people, the church, the tabernacle. And be honest this night, who does not feel at times, you go through the motions coming to church. That is what many of us do. You don't dare to miss a church service. But God's presence, is that now experienced? His nearness, is it now felt? And you go through challenging times in life. We heard it, eh? A loved one was taken away. Or when you have an illness, when you hear the medical news, no treatment possible. Or those among us, or relatives that deal with depression. It's often secret. We don't discuss it. But congregation, let us be honest. The World Health Organization reports recently that worldwide anxiety and depression has increased more than 25% since the pandemic. People at work that have anxiety and depression, that manifests itself not just in stress but even fear, multiplied by pandemic-induced situations over which you have little control. And the ever-present anxiety that leads to burnout and depression and panic attacks. And congregation, let us not think this pass us by as congregations, as families, as parents, and young people. Who does not feel at times, where is God? And when, for example, when your marriage is not as it was before. And I do not mean that there are problem-free marriages in this world. There are two flawed people together and still struggling with remaining sin. But when there are money problems or issues how to raise your children or daily stress or busy schedules or poor communication, forgetting the simple but so needful question, how are you? How was your day? Showing actually that you care about the other. Or where is God when you go through life alone? Maybe single, while hoping for a friend, more than a friend, and there seems there is no one. When life is overwhelming, verse 2, when my heart is overwhelmed. Overwhelmed in the original points to be feeble, faint, fainted, growth faint, fainting away, to be shrouded, red, covered, feeling enveloped, surrounded in darkness. Overwhelmed, coming to the close of the year, who does not know sometimes the feeling? Overwhelmed by the thought of the loss of a loved one, having concerns about your children when the Lord has given you them and grandchildren, the choices in life they make. Overwhelmed having health concerns and overwhelmed by the turmoil in this world. Or with the words of Psalm 18, that this Psalm 18 that resonate with our text word as well. The psalmist was surrounded by enemies. Sorrows compassed him, floods overwhelmed him. In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. Those times, as with the words of Psalm 77, my spirit was overwhelmed. There's even a psalm dedicated to this, Psalm 102, a prayer of the afflicted, when he was overwhelmed and poured out his complaint before the Lord. Psalm 107, their soul fainted in them. No, he even have Jonah, surrounded, covered in darkness in the belly of the fish, when my soul fainted within me. Times when you wonder where is God in all of this. Everything is fleeting, nothing is permanent, except change. Those times that you feel that God seemed to have forgotten and forsaken you, and that the cry of the heart is, why are you so far from helping me? And it seems no one helps. I cry by day, but you do not answer. It seems that no one is listening. And by night, I find no rest. Those sleepless nights. Maybe the experience of someone in our midst that can agree with Job's words. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there. And backward, I cannot perceive him. Young people, there are sometimes times in life that you feel that the rug is pulled from under you. No shelter. Lose ground under your feet. Unsteadiness. Instability of life. No immovable boulder. No rock. No rock of ages. Do you see a need? Do you see a need? A need of a rock, a shelter, a place of refuge. Does that need bring you to the Lord? Hey, the first one, hear my cry, O God. From the end of the earth I cry to thee. One more aspect to see your need of Christ as your rock, as your shelter, as your strong tower. Your sin. Young people, sin separates from God. That is not an abstract concept, but a reality. And I know young people beginning a discussion about sin can often feel overwhelming. But John Owen reminds us in his work, The Mortification of Sin, be killing sin or it will be killing you. Sin is serious. It offends a good doing God. Who is so gracious, even tonight, that he invites you. Come now and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, though they be red like crimson, come now, let us settle the matter. Whatever that is in your life, lust or pride or whatever sin you battle in life, struggle with, it brings separation between the Lord and your soul. That is an objective truth. Does not Isaiah remind us in chapter 59, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you. But do you know this now subjectively? That is, this experience that sin separates you from a good doing God, that distance between him and your soul. And when you cannot deny that tonight, that is his grace. Because it is only by grace when your eyes are open to see who you really are before God. It is not Bunyan writes in Pilgrim's Progress, as the sinner is awakened about his lost condition. Do we still know this language? Then arises in his soul many fears and doubts and discouraging apprehensions. That you begin to experience, which experience will never leave your life on this side of the grave. And I'm not speaking about the principle, I'm not speaking about the profundity, the depth of it, but the principle. This experience for the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do, I would not, it is no more that I do it, but sin that dwelt in me. Do you know that language? I find a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bring me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am. The cry of the heart, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Do you see your need? You need to be cleansed from your sin. Maybe those times in your life that cry to the Lord, Lord, have patience with me. I will pay thee all. when your heart is overwhelmed with guilt, with shame, seeing your sin. That the words of the psalmist in 107 are your words and experience hungry and thirsty there, so fainted in them, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. When was it the last time? Friends, don't step over sin. Spurgeon, a 19th century preacher in London, writes on this text, "Waves of trouble and affliction are all over me. It encompasses me as a cloud. It swallows me up like a sea. It shuts me in thick darkness. Yet, God is near, near enough to hear my voice. And I will call on him. Hear my cry, O God. Attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry to thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Lead me." Because, be honest tonight, it is hard to pray when your heart is drowning, when your heart is overwhelmed. The experience, this reality, I cry to him, but I'm so confused and the distance with him is felt from the end of the earth. This reality, I see him to be my refuge, sure and strong, but at the same time, I feel so feeble and faint. Waves are over me in doubt and temptation, and then that rock I cannot climb. But you cannot miss him anymore. You need him more. And therefore, pray and plead with him, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. As an hymn writer of old once wrote, "Lead me guidely along the way. If thou lead me, I cannot stray. Lead me, O Lord, lead me." In preparing this sermon, I read of someone who said, "A seeking soul should at once believe in Jesus." I say, at once. But it is legitimate for you to ask to be led to Jesus. The Holy Spirit is able to effect such leading. And it's very remarkable when Augustus Toplady wrote in the Gospel magazine this hymn. He wrote a sentence before it. And he wrote, "Do not despair. Pray afresh to God who is able to raise you up and set you on your feet again. Look to the blood of the covenant and say to the Lord from the depths of your heart, Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee." Our second thought: who is he, that rock, Christ? Because the Psalm 61 shows us that as well. Rock, verse 2, and shelter, and strong tower. More personal, as we read in the Psalm, a shelter for me. And this whole Psalm is personal. Personal experience. My cry to God. My prayer. I cry to him. My heart is overwhelmed. Lead me. I will abide. I will trust. Who is Christ for you? Who is Christ for you? The psalmist in Psalm 18 says, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge. He is my shield, the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Then I ask you, to whom shall you go then? When you are caught in the storms of life, when your heart is overwhelmed, when you cry from the end of the earth because the challenges in your life even now, maybe marriage strains, maybe sorrow and grief over the loss of loved ones, maybe so vivid at the end of another year, to whom will you go? When you feel that God is distant, when you experience the lack of God's presence, when you feel remote from God, His people, the church, times that you are perplexed, overwhelmed with guilt, with shame, seeing your sin. Oh, friends, here is Christ, who left the place of glory, the heavenly sanctuary, the tabernacle, left the place of presence and communion with His Father, so that you can and will abide in His tabernacle, to be in His presence and have communion with Him. You who cried from the end of the earth, you who feels at times that God is so distant, so that you can commune with Him. That is, you converse with Him in your prayer. Pour out your soul before Him. God is a refuge for us. Having communion with Him through His Word, so that the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. That is, when you give heed to His voice, when He stands, also tonight, when He stands at the door and knocks, if any man hear my voice and opens the door, He says, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with him. Having communion with Him. Those times that you can say or experience in sweet communion, Lord, with Thee. I constantly abide. My hand Thou holdest within Thine own to keep me near Thy side. Here is Christ, who was overwhelmed in the Garden of Gethsemane. My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, so that you can and will be strengthened and comforted for His sake. Here is Christ, Christ Himself, who prayed at Golgotha, who cried out at the cross in an infinite distance with His Father, and was not heard, so that you can and will be heard, even from the ends of the earth, for His sake. Christ, who felt the enemies in His life and surrounded by them at the cross, of whom was foretold. Psalm 18, the sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of the ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about, the snares of death prevented me, so that you have a strong tower from the enemy, whoever that is, and whatever enemy you may have, so that you will and can be comforted in your sorrow and grief. Blessed then are those who mourn, they shall be comforted for Christ's sake. O then, Christ, who is the rock, who lifts you up above the circumstances of life, challenging as they may be, when nothing seems to be firm or permanent, when the waves of trials and testings are over you, and He sets you up a rock, and the rock is Christ. Christ, who is a shelter, a hiding place, a safe house, a place of protection, a place of care, when you feel vulnerable, weak and feeble. Christ, who prays even now, this interceding high priest at the right hand of the Father, where He abides forever. And He intercedes, and He prays, and He advocates for each of His children, even now. Praise that your faith fails not, and that in the midst of the storms of life, times when you are confused and overwhelmed, when you feel distant from Him, but that you may experience when you cry unto the Lord in your trouble, and He saves you out of all your distresses. Experience this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his trouble. O congregation, see then Christ, the shelter, the strong tower, the rock of ages, in always suitableness and willingness, he is able to save to the uttermost those who come unto God by him, seeing that he ever lives. See him then in his mercy, rich and undeserved mercy. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in mercy. He has not dealt with us according to our sin, not punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. Oh, see him in his willingness and ability to save you. A 17th century pastor reminds us, Christ is more willing to save us than sinners are willing to be saved by him. Oh, see him in his promises, his invitation to come to him. With this promise, him or her that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. Oh, see him in his precious blood, his blood that cleanses you from all your sin. See him in his dying love on the cross, cleft for me, for such one as you are. Friends, it has been freely prepared. It must be freely received. Nothing can be added. Nothing has to be added. See him as a complete, able, and willing Savior, so that you may experience afresh and anew, not the labors of my hand, can fulfill thy law's demand. Could my zeal know respite? No. Could my tears forever flow? All for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. O then to experience anew and afresh my Savior, he has proved he only is my rock and tower. I shall not be moved. Should that not transform you? Should that not translate in your life? In other words, if you cannot deny that this Christ reveals himself to your overwhelming soul, so that you have taken refuge in him, seeking your life out of yourself in him. If you cannot deny this personal acquaintance with him, Christ as your rock, how does that now translate also for this new week in your life? And therefore I leave you with three main implications, which center around one word, that is to remember. Because verse 3 says, thou hast been. The psalmist remembers. And what I mean at first is remember to direct your life with all its needs to God. When you are overwhelmed with times of adversity and prosperity, and here is one in the psalm who is going through challenging times in his life. But remember, he turned to the Lord first. O God, hear my cry. And so you, whatever situation or circumstance in your life you have or face, turn to the Lord first. And yes, you can begin to understand the psalmist, oh God, you lay it all before him. You know how I feel, how overwhelmed I am. And you cry to him, oh God, hear me, attend to me. And be honest tonight, we try to figure out our problems and our challenges in life first. And if nothing seems to work, yes, then we turn to the Lord. But the order in this psalm is, hear, O God, attend to my prayer. That first. And then secondly, his issue, an overwhelmed heart. And therefore, this reminder for all of us this night. Remember, therefore, with all your needs, small or great, direct your life to him. Turn to him first. Young people, he is Christ the rock. He is a God who hears. A prayer hearing God. He is the God who pays attention. That the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. Don't forget. Second, remember the past. Recall the past. What I mean is this, recalling the past dealings of the Lord with you. And not recalling your past, fractured and complicated as it might be, but who he was for such one as you are. Verse 3, thou hast been a shelter for me. Thou hast been a strong tower from the enemy. He remembers, he recalls, thou hast been a shelter, a strong tower to me. And therefore, now when he is overwhelmed, he cries out to the same God of the past. O God, hear me. Attend to my prayer. And note the change in the psalm. His perspective on the circumstances changes. He remembers, he recalls, thou hast been. And immediate, the next text verse is, I will abide. I will take refuge. And so even in verse 8 he says, I will sing. Only and because of the unchangeable, rock solid, rock of ages. This covenant keeping God. The past, the present, and will be the same forever and ever. For I, says the Lord, I change not. And therefore your sons, your daughters, also in our midst, you are not consumed. Remember then to turn to the Lord in all circumstances of life, in particular when you are overwhelmed and in need of outward circumstances, in need of inward condition, your sin, turn to him and cry out, O God. Remember often who he has been for you in the past. Then I ask you, you who have received a place at the Lord's table, you who cannot deny God's grace in your life, then I ask you, look back tonight in your life. Can you not testify? Has he not been a shelter for you? Has he not been your strength? Your strong tower? Or have you forgotten? Have you not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, also the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable, and he gives power to the weak. Also in our midst, and to those who have no mind, he increases strength. Remember the past. And lastly, remember also to commune with him, trust in him. Verse 4, I will abide in thy tabernacle, that is to be in his presence. Now, young people, how will you be in his presence? And I saw just when I walked in tonight, the youth group sitting there, that is to be in his words. That it is reading your Bible or podcast, or hear his word preaching on Sunday. Remember to dwell with the Lord. I did see in a commentary this on this text, he who communes with God is always at home. He who communes with God is always at home. To experience his protection and get his nearness. Meeting Christ in his word. When was that the last time? I will trust under his wing. And sometimes you see that in the springtime, eh? Young birds under the feathers of a mother bird. How safe, how comfortable, happy. They rest under the protecting and caring feathers. How much more, much, much more, to take refuge under the Lord's care and protection, trusting under his wings. And remember, if you cannot deny his gracious work in you, cannot deny he has heard my voice and supplication, a refuge thou hast been for me. Trust in him. Not once, but again and again. Selah. So end our text verse 4. That is, pause for a moment. Pause for a moment when you have heard these verses of the psalm. And maybe there are among us, they have listened with all kind of objections. Will God really hear my prayer? Is my cry to him good enough? Is he really a shelter, a refuge for me? Am I welcome by him? Maybe there are in our midst that have to say, if you know my life, my past, if you know my sin, secret sins. Friends, whatever objection you have raised, whatever objection you may have, this is his offer to you tonight. This God, no one else, upholds you in the strife when you are overwhelmed. This God, he hears the needy when they cry. This God is your salvation. Will you reject that? I plead with you, don't delay. Take refuge in him, your shelter from the storming blast, your rock cleft for you. Also pause for a moment when you have heard these verses of this psalm, and you may say by grace, so it is. So it is. Remember, recall this psalm often as it speaks of your life of grace. But I cry, I abide, I trust, I sing. Why? Only and because he hears, he leads, he shelters for Christ's sake. The rock of ages cleft for me. Amen. Let us pray.